The shooting that we know about now in Minnesota seems to be an accidental shooting where an officer, a 26-year veteran of the police department, thought she had her taser and thought was she was deploying a taser and shot a suspect who died. Is this a training issue with 26 years experience, or is this just a horrible mistake? Does this talk about the need for more police training? What is police training like? What is it that officers go through on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis to make sure that they are proficient and to make sure that they are ready to handle any situation? Joining us right now is the former DPS director here in the state of Arizona, Frank Milstead. Frank, thanks for being here. When you saw what happened and then found out this was a 26-year veteran, what were your first thoughts?
Well, Mike, I was surprised. So let's talk first about what we do to make sure that an officer, a trooper, a deputy can differentiate when they're grabbing under a stress environment for their for a weapon or for an implement for use of force. And first off, the handgun is always on your strong side. You know, whatever hand, left or right, that's where your handgun goes. And usually on the other side, we train. So it's kind of a cross draw. It's either on your vest that you wear, or it's on the other side of your belt, so it's something deliberate that you have to do to get to the taser. So the training, your instincts go into effect, and you know that the handgun is where your strong hand is, and on the other side of your body is where the taser is. And the second part of them is they don't feel the same, and they don't look the same. The tasers are bright yellow with black handles. They have a different type of trigger. I mean, there's a whole bunch of tactile differences in weight and the whole issue about what feels like a gun and what feels like a electronic control device.
But when you, I don't know if you've seen the video or not, but I have. She clearly says taser, 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 and then an expletive when she seems to be genuinely surprised that she shot the suspect.
I completely agree, and I've watched the video. And Officer Potter, you can see in her body camera that she's got the hand on her Glock handgun. And when she says the expletive afterwards, when the suspect is drives away and gets free from custody, she says, "I shot him," and again seems surprised. So, what do we do for officers and for deputies and troopers in training? Well, we put them in stress environments, and we do it routinely. We do it in yearly ongoing officer training. We put them in a stress environment. We get them to work their hands across their body, to grab the gun, to grab the taser. We use electronic scenarios where they have shoot, don't shoot scenarios, and they're graded by an instructor. And if you fail those, you have to go back through remedial training. So I don't know what that particular department does. But in Arizona, all those things are outlined by the Arizona Peace Officers Standard and Training Board that they have to go through these on a yearly basis so they keep proficient. So when you talk about police reform and what needs to happen in the nation to try to limit these things even more than we do now is, I think that's one of the things we look at. We look at nationwide training, nationwide standards. You never know how people are going to react in a stress environment. The human dynamic on both sides of the equation is always alive and well. And that's why we try to put those people that do law enforcement in these stressful situations to see how they react so they understand the stresses that exist within the job.
Well, I know you've been a police chief, a city police chief. You ran the DPS. How much of a budget is dedicated to training of officers or troopers?
You know, of any police budget, and this is the scary part of it for somebody who doesn't know this, somewhere around 80 or 85% of almost every police department now, just to pay for the employee-related expenses that go along with having professional staff and sworn staff. So the next 18% of your budget is for everything else you do, buy cars, radios, computers, pay for power. So everywhere, police budgets run very, very thin. But it's a genuine percentage for training that goes into every police budget. And again, it's not optional in Arizona. These things have to be done, so they have to be budgeted for. And the exact dollar amount for either one of the agencies that I ran, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, but it's substantial and it's ongoing. And we try to provide the best world-class training we can for those troopers so when they are in that situation that they react appropriately. And here's the other thing that's got to be said here is that if you cooperate with the police, you know, if you don't fight, when that suspect began to fight, he did two things. He put himself in jeopardy and he put the officer in jeopardy. And it's unnecessary. And this divide between police and certain segments of society, two things have to happen. First off, the police have to understand the perception of themselves, how certain communities see them, understand them, and what their real life experiences may have been prior to this event. And then the officers have to understand that you can't push a bad situation to the point that the outcome far exceeds any, you know, legitimate law enforcement purpose. But if everyone cooperates, everyone is respectful and listens and pays attention to one another, these things really don't happen. I mean, it's usually only in conflict over somebody who is in the middle of committing a crime. Don't lead a life of crime. And if you get caught, just give up. And those things don't happen.
Joining us is former Arizona DPS Director Frank Milstead. Let's talk about shortages. We know that the Phoenix Police Department is dramatically understaffed. Your agency, when you were with the DPS, was understaffed compared to the growth we've had of freeways and population. How much of a role does that play in training? If you have to have troopers on the road, they don't have time to train properly. Is that correct or not?
Well, no, not really, because we'll sacrifice people on the road for training. We sacrifice people on highways for special events. We sacrifice the number of officers and troopers out there because other things are going on. You know, when there's a protest in the city of Phoenix and all of Phoenix PD is deployed and DPS is a second, action item for them to use, we take people off of the roadways and the roadways become less safe. So all of us need more people. But what is happening now is it's the difficulty in hiring people because, you know, young people are concerned about this occupation, that they don't want to be the next viral video. They don't want to be put in a situation where they react and then they're you know, criticized for trying to save their own lives. And, you know, when we do train, we teach the troopers and we teach the officers to win the confrontation. We're the good guys. We were invited to this by a bad guy or some bad situation. And when it goes sideways, we teach our people to win. And they all want to go home. They all have families. And I listen to these conversations about how, you know, somehow police are different. Police are just a segment of society. And it doesn't matter if they're in uniform or they're in plain clothes. Everybody reacts to stress differently. And we all care about one another. We all go to church together and go to Costco at the same time. The police are just another part of the population of the community.
What do you think the punishment will be, and what do you think the punishment should be for this officer?
You know, that is very difficult because I don't know anything about her record, her past. It's interesting. She obviously is confused. I think that you're going to look at this as what happens with the county attorney or their district attorney. Will they charge her? And my guess is no, that it's a manslaughter case. It's an accidental death. To me, it's not much different than when an officer is involved in a collision that they're in fault in and somebody gets killed. It's a horrible, terrific accident. It's bad for everybody involved. But I doubt that they fire her. But obviously, there's discipline and there's remedial training. My guess is at 26 years that this will be so overwhelming for her internally that she'll probably retire. And because, like I said, it not only destroyed this man's life and took it from him, it destroyed her career and a lot of her life will never be the same because of this violent encounter over a warrant. I mean, something that's relatively insignificant.
Frank, it's always good to talk with you, and I appreciate your expertise in this.
Absolutely, Mike. I appreciate it. And, you know, and my parting thought is just to everybody, let's just all respect one another and get along. And the world is just a better place. It's just happier.
Thanks, Frank. I appreciate it. Strong words. That's Frank Milstead. He was the former DPS director, also chief of police, I believe, in Mesa for years. Grew up in the Phoenix Police Department and a cop for over 30 years here in the state of Arizona. So if anyone's going to know tactics and training, it would be him.